Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
That Angel situation is getting messy. I don't know if you saw the latest on this today. From the New York Post, the DEA now questioning Matt Harvey and Angels players in that Tyler Skaggs death probe.
Yeah, that's not only players, but there was like a PR guy involved in the whole thing.
Yeah.
That was an addict himself and was admitted to supplying Tyler Skaggs with opioids. So, yeah, scary. Just a one, tragic, and two, yeah, really messy situation in that organization. So,
yeah.
Oof. But it looks like Joe Maddon's going to be the new manager. Not a surprise there. Big market, like big market to big market.
Right.
Maddon kind of turned himself into a big market guy. So, yeah, they're going to be like.
But it has to be. I mean,
did Chicago was going to be L.A. or.
He's that type of personality. Like, yeah. He's not the personality for a Midwestern team in a smaller market like Kansas City. He's never going to come to Kansas City.
Was not going to be Kansas City.
You don't want a manager who believes he's bigger than the organization.
Also not Kansas City for Jalen Ramsey. I know some of you are probably disappointed today. You want to, I did too. Who didn't? Who didn't want to see the Chiefs get Jalen Ramsey? So the Rams get him. But for the price tag involved, I'm good with it. I wanted this team to make a splashy, impactful move. That'd have been great. I don't like the price tag. I think it would be too much to give up two more first round picks and what's believed to be more than what the Rams gave up. That the Rams wasn't necessarily the overall best offer.
Mm-hmm.
Because in order to trade Jalen Ramsey, you were hearing that the Jags wanted more from an AFC team.
Yeah, if they were going to trade him to the AFC, it was going to be two firsts and a second. Two firsts and a second for an AFC team. And so that is something that I find to be very unmanageable. You know, like, I'm not giving you two firsts and a second for a guy that has an expiring contract in a year and a half that we may not be able to re-sign. And if we do re-sign him, it could upset everything else that we want to do from a contract standpoint. So, look, the stars just didn't align right now for the Kansas City Chiefs and for Jalen Ramsey. It just wasn't going to work at that price and what they would have to do to justify that price tag to themselves and to the fans, really.
I think everybody would have been happy today. I would have been happy today. We would have been pumping our fists. Oh my gosh, this is that linchpin to the defense. It's all going to be better now. But what does it do down the road?
Yeah.
And
what does it do to your locker room too?
To bring in Jalen Ramsey?
Like,
oh, I think it's fine.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have a problem with that one at all. Because his back's going to be fine. He's going to go through he's going to go get this physical.
No, that is true. He's not injured.
I have not
anymore,
seen
yeah.
the pending, the this deal will be completed pending the physical. I've not seen that. Maybe it's been out there. I don't know. But his back's going to be fine. He's going to play. And I think he's going to get in a situation where he's going to be rejuvenated and all those things. Yeah, I think I wouldn't worry about that at all. I think he would have been great with the Chiefs because you give a new spot. Certainly, if you got the new contract, you'd be very, very happy. And if the Chiefs, if that was part of what the Chiefs were going to do, right? If they were going to do it, they would have had to have a contract. And he'd have been a very happy camper. He'd been fine. I wouldn't have had a problem with that. I would have a problem with a little bit of the future. I think the Chiefs need to, they need to draft better, but they also need to have the picks in order to be able to continue to improve things defensively for the long haul. Getting cheaper and younger and all those things that you want to do on defense, to me, it's vital that you do it in the draft. Felt like that price tag's too much.
Yeah, I think it's a situation where the price was too high on the surface for getting him, and then the price was going to be too high to keep him. And when those things are not working in your favor and those things are working against you, it's tough to go out there and swing a trade and to make a trade that's worthwhile. And, you know, it would have been nice, but I still ultimately think you got to find a big body and a linebacker to stop that run. And if you're going to go out there and make a trade on the defensive side of the football, to me, it has to be somebody that helps with your biggest weakness. And your biggest weakness right now is shutting down the run.
Yeah. And can you find those? I don't know. Those aren't the names that are out there, but that's incumbent upon teams to go find those guys and teams that are willing to part with those types that you're looking for that wouldn't be like top of mind names right now.
But this should be a siren and alarm going off for all of us that they're in this situation because they haven't drafted well on the defensive side of the football. And that's a fact. That is a fact. They have not drafted well on the defensive side of the football. They've tried to put together a defense with free agents and trades. And when you try to do that in the NFL...
But they've also drafted and haven't panned out.
That's what I'm saying. They haven't drafted well. They have not drafted
Passanio,
well.
Breland Speaks, Armani Watts. There's a bunch of guys that just aren't really contributors to this whole thing right now.
That's what I'm saying. They have not drafted well on the defensive side of the football.
So it's incumbent upon them if you have these picks to use them wisely.
But
I think they have to get better at hitting on the draft defensively.
Right,
for sure.
And you're not in this predicament. If you drafted better and had better players on defense, we wouldn't be out here trying to scramble to find, you know, somebody who can help you in October.
Yeah, because that's the spot where you're going to get better necessarily, right?
It's hard. It's hard to make a trade. It's hard to make a trade for somebody.
So good job by the Jags. You got two firsts and a fourth for someone that wasn't going to play for you. I think the Jags are the biggest winners today. I don't know if the Rams are. I don't know if this is a good trade for the Rams. I don't think that particular trade would have been a good one for the Chiefs. Would have been in the short term. I don't know about the long term necessarily, but I don't have to play short term. We can play the long game a little bit. You have a quarterback that you should be in the mix for each and every year. Now you have to strike when you can. I get it. But I still have to play the long game with this one too. I can't do those panic moves. Get it done now. Has to be now. That, to me, the price tag was just too high. Yeah. I couldn't do it. Caller number six right now to 913-576-7610. Going to win $25 at Topper's Pizza. That was our 9 o'clock hour prize just for listening. 913-576-7610. Caller number seven right now. Our Chiefs 60th anniversary celebration interview this week. How about this? It's Coach Dick Vermeil. He'll join us next.
Fesco in the morning.
Back in Wednesday edition, Fesco in the morning. Along with Bob Fesco, I'm Josh Klingler. We're doing our 60th anniversary interviews all season long, each and every Wednesday at 9:15. Chiefs history, those are instrumental in the history, the 60 years that the Chiefs are celebrating of Chiefs football. And today's interview, pretty cool.
Yeah, the former head coach, my favorite coach of all time, Dick Vermeil. Coach, how you doing, my friend?
Morning, Coach.
I'm doing fine, thank you. How about you guys?
We're doing great, and each week we're taking a look back at somebody in history that made a big impact on this organization, and obviously you made a huge impact on the Kansas City Chiefs organization. How close were you to taking the job when Carl initially was hired here in Kansas City?
Not close enough. I should have, but, you know, they hired a better coach than Marty Schottenheimer, believe me. You know, Marty Schottenheimer is a Hall of Fame football coach, but because of not real good success in playoffs, he's not in the Hall of Fame. But to me, that's a poor criteria for leaving him out. But that's how it is in the league today.
Yeah, got to get that Super Bowl championship. And then eventually it came around, and in 2001, you finally became the head coach of the Kansas City Chiefs. What made you decide at that time, all right, let's go give this one more run. Let me finally go to Kansas City where Carl's wanted me forever and a day.
Well, first off, I realized I made a mistake when retiring after winning the Super Bowl at the Rams, but I didn't think I'd go back. And then Carl came after me and Lamar Hunt and Lynn Stiles and I knew I'd made a mistake, and there couldn't be a finer organization in the NFL for Dick Vermeil to go back to. You know, I don't think I'd have gone back to any other organization. I had great confidence. First off, it was not in turmoil. It was a good program to take over. In fact, my biggest disappointment in my coaching career is I didn't do a good enough job to hand Lamar Hunt that trophy that's named after him. But, it's the 5 years I spent there was as good a 5 years in terms of enjoyment as a coach and a person in a community as I've spent anywhere.
And you say that's your biggest regret, and I've heard you say that before. What would you have done differently? I mean, everybody reflects and looks back to get Lamar Hunt that trophy.
Well, I started the Rams in 97. I went back to the old way, 100% the old program that I had run, and we got there in 3 years and won it. You know, and it was the losingest program of football. In my third year there, I modernized my approach because I felt I had done everything. My players had done everything. My coaches and administration had done everything we could to make this football team better. Now I was going to back off on them and not try to make them better every second, but put them together as a team better and send them into games just a little bit fresher, not with the thought of it getting better, but winning. I used that same approach coming into Kansas City to start out my first year. And everyone thought that my first year, that's where we ran it in Kansas City, was a little tougher approach than had been used in the past. But it was the same approach I used my third year at the Rams. If I had it to do over again, I think I'd start at least the first year back with my first year program. And I think it would have helped me develop a defense that I failed to do.
Kind of some pressure, I guess, you put on yourself. You're coming off a Super Bowl in St. Louis and then coming to a franchise where they were striving, obviously, to get there and to hand that trophy. That's a little pressure. I know you wanted to give that trophy to Lamar Hunt, but that's a little pressure to walk into on your end, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. But, you know, I felt mature. In fact, it might have been the first time in my entire coaching career, from high school to junior college to college, the NFL, that I felt totally confident and prepared that I knew what I was doing and how it should be done. You know, and it was different than how I did it in Philadelphia because, you know, I no longer coached my own, called my own offense and all that kind of stuff. I had coordinators, which I didn't have when I was in Philadelphia. But being out for 14 years in broadcasting, I was more or less forced to do that. And I made sure, number one, we had great organization, we had good players, we had the discipline, we had a great work ethic, and the players were in a frame of mind to be coached by a fine coaching staff. But somewhere along the line, I failed in helping them get better at defense enough so we could win it all.
What happened on that defense? Because we're seeing it like right now before our eyes. Everybody keeps comparing this team now to that team back in 2003 where you were so spectacular on offense, but everybody knows how it ended with nobody punting in that game against the Indianapolis Colts because the defense wasn't there, and fans are starting to get a little nervous here. Like, what happened with the defense?
Well, we didn't get the results out of the defensive draft that we had hoped to. Okay, you know, remember Sims, we drafted him, yep. Moved up to get him. He was a fine player in college and also in the Senior Bowl. And a linebacker that had played for me for 7 years and coached for me at the Rams had said he was a can't miss. And we drafted him, and then he doesn't come to training camp because his agents keep him out. He missed the entire training camp. And that really, really, that really, really hurt him. But,
Jeff.
Anyway, I just, you know.
Tell Carol we said hi.
We've got a couple other defensive line coaches but players that just didn't meet our expectations. And that really hurt us. In fact, our best draft choice probably the whole time was our fourth round pick in 2004 when we got the great defensive end, you know, was later traded to Minnesota.
Yeah. Jared Allen, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. He didn't get the defense put together, that's all.
Yeah.
Not enough good players. That was our fault.
Talk with Dick Vermeil here on 610 Sports Radio. And I think, you know, the one thing that we've experienced by talking to everybody in these 60th anniversary lookbacks is the love that everybody had for Lamar Hunt. Why was he so loved? What made him a guy that folks loved working for and wanted to work for?
Well, number one, he was very humble. Number two, no one had a greater passion for the NFL football team that he owned than Lamar Hunt. Very compassionate about his players and his coaches. You know, you couldn't find a better example of a great owner in the entire league. And I just, I never enjoyed an owner as much as I enjoyed him, not only as an owner, but as a good friend. Just a great man.
You know, also, I think when you look back at your time here in Kansas City, for me, I think my favorite moment, one of the best things that I've ever seen in sports, was that game after 9/11 against the Giants, where everybody came out with the flags and the money was raised at Arrowhead Stadium. What was that moment like for you to be on the sidelines that day in such an emotional stadium?
Well, like you just mentioned the term emotional, and I'm an emotional guy, and I can remember standing there, seeing all those things and tears running down my eyes and still disbelief that what took place on the 9/11. And here we're honoring 9/11 by playing the first game after 9/11, missing one game. And just the fact that you're playing at home amongst your fans, the American flag's there, the Star Spangled Banner, the disaster of 9/11, that emotional experience can probably never be duplicated. In fact, you wouldn't want to duplicate it.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I still think people ask me all the time, you know, we've been to Super Bowls and Final Fours and all kinds of crazy things, and people say, what's the best sporting event you've been to? And I say the Chiefs-Giants after 9/11 is always going to be up there for me as the best sporting event, because I was just so amazed by everything that went on that game. You know, it was just
yeah,
really
no
remarkable.
Question, no question. And the only negative the whole day was we lost.
Right. that is true.
I didn't remember that portion.
The Chiefs, the Giants won the game. It was kind of fitting for the Giants to win that game coming back after 9/11. What was your what was your favorite moment coaching here, Coach?
Geez, I had so many of them. You know, I go back to thinking about tying the game up in Green Bay. I think it was for our ninth win in a row.
Yeah.
And then going into overtime and then Trent hits Eddie Kennison on a bomb and wins the football game for us. I think that was just an unbelievable experience. And, of course, Brett Favre was still the quarterback and those kind of things. And in Green Bay and that atmosphere amongst those fans, that was one of the highlights, really, for me of the entire time I was there. Also beating New England and those. We beat four or five playoff teams the second half of the 2005 season that was really a good accomplishment for a football team. And, you know, we won 10 games and don't go to playoffs.
Yeah.
And I remember Lamar Hunt coming into my office, and, you know, he used to print little tiny, you could hardly read it. And he came in with this whole diagram of evaluation of that 2005 season. And he says, you know, Dick, we played the toughest schedule in football. And as a football team, we beat more good football teams than anybody else in the league. So good job. I'll never forget that.
Wow. That's pretty remarkable. I guess that's why people like working for him. You actually get, you know, rewarded and credited for doing a good job, huh?
Yeah, no question.
Yeah,
it wasn't good enough. You know, 10 wins and don't go to the playoffs. I think that had been accomplished one other time. Not an accomplishment you like to talk about.
No, not at all. What do you think of this year's version of the Chiefs?
Well, I like them. I think they've got some injury problems right now. You know, to me, they're the best offensive team in football, and I think they've got the best head football coach in football right now. And, you know, if they can get the defense back and you get some of those injured players back, you know, that make a difference. You know, Chris Jones not playing makes a huge difference, boy. I mean, he's become a force inside, and I think everyone would agree with that. They get back there and get 100% healthy, they're going to be very tough to beat down the stretch.
You still talking to Andy a lot?
Yeah, we text back and forth. I just, you know, I don't want to interfere or give suggestions. I text, wish him luck, and maybe once in a while throw a thought out there about, you know, a situation that he's in.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, it'll be fun to watch him in Denver this Thursday night. We're all looking forward to hopefully getting back on the right track, huh?
Yeah, well, you know, they're a better team than Denver. They should beat him. But you know something? I took better teams into Denver a number of times and went there 0-5. So I'm certainly no genius to be asking about how to beat Denver in Denver.
That's true. Very good point. Coach, we appreciate the time. Always love hearing your voice and love catching up with you, my friend.
All right. Thank you. Hello, Kansas City.
Take care. Take care. Dick Vermeil with us here on 610 Sports Radio, looking back at our 60th anniversary interviews that we do each week. And what better coach to have on than Coach Dick Vermeil?
You can hear all the interviews, 610sports.com, in the on-demand section or via the radio.com app. Your chance to win $1,000. Be listening for that keyword coming up in just a couple of minutes. And maybe the Broncos OC is onto something. We'll discuss next.
Fesco in the morning.
Your chance to win $1,000. 1,000 on the 30s. Text the code word THUNDER to 72881. That's Thunder. Yesterday was like a super short word. Today, really long.
Long,
word.
So, yeah.
Thunder, 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 to 72881. You could be the $1,000 cash winner in the national contest. 610 Sports Radio, the only sports radio station in Kansas City, giving you a chance at up to $8,000 each weekday. Listen on the 30s from 9 to 5. Your next chance coming up at 10:30. Complete rules at 610sports.com. That's Thunder to 72881 for your chance to win $1,000. Our thanks to Dick Vermeil. Drop by for the 60th anniversary interview. I'm hoping whatever the financial transaction that was happening in the background gets done with Dick Vermeil.
Yeah, it's so funny.
We've all had that, right? Married people have all
usually
had that conversation.
A kid, right?
Yeah. All I could tell was I heard something like, Dick and the credit card.
Right.
That's what I heard in the background. I don't know if that's what she said or not, but I was like, the credit card won't work.
And you can tell he's trying to shoo her out.
Yeah. Like that random, this won't work at this time, and it's sometimes an inopportune time that it happens.
Right.
He's, I'm on the phone.
Right, yeah. That would have been great if he did that. Tell Carol we said
I swear I heard Dick, the credit card.
Yeah.
Like, oh, no.
Yeah.
She's trying to make a purchase and the card's not working.
It was so good.
It's Vermeil's fault.
Yeah. Hey, the credit card. I'm trying to buy something here. credit card's not working.
I don't know if that's what happened. That's what it sounded like to me. It was terrific.
Yeah.
Jalen Ramsey, obviously the top story in the NFL today, going from the Jags to the Rams. Rams giving up 2 first-round picks and a 4th-round pick to get that deal done. Pretty hefty price tag for Jalen Ramsey. They do not have a contract. In place, a contract in principle in place to make that move. He's got 1 year remaining on his current deal. So a year and a half currently under contract for Jalen Ramsey. But they could be looking at an extension. I think you have to if you spend that kind of price tag, right? But the Rams certainly aren't afraid to make a move without doing that. Mm-hmm. Did it with Marcus Peters and then moved on from him before his contract expired. Didn't extend him. And moved him on yesterday to Baltimore
to show
as well.
For that, they got a linebacker that played 27% of the snaps at Baltimore. That tells you they really want to get that guy out of here. I want to go back to something that Dick Vermeil did say though, and when we were talking about like the regrets, and he said we didn't draft good enough defensively. Boy,
I know. Got a few texts in during there. Hey, sounds a little familiar. Yeah, that's the fear. That's the fear of Chiefs fans, right? A lot of offense, not enough on defense.
Right.
Don't do well enough in the draft. Don't get those right pieces in place to make it work defensively. And
he mentioned the failed defensive pick in Ryan Sims, which he's still bitter about, and I don't blame him. He was mad about it
at the
time.
They got talked into that. Yeah, that whole situation got sold a bill of goods by somebody you knew.
Yep.
That was talking up somebody.
Yep.
And the guy was no good.
And the guy was no good, and he never made it to training camp. And I remember that it distinctively. It was happening at training camp, but it was family fun night, and the fireworks were going off in the background. And Dick Vermeil was railing against Hadley Engelhart, that was the guy's name. He was the agent for Ryan Sims, and Vermeil called him Engel Dork. and it was the day that Ryan Sims finally signed the contract, and fireworks are going off. It's like 10 o'clock at night. We're all interviewing Vermeil, and we go, oh, it's good to have Ryan Sims here. He goes, yeah, he's here, fat and out of shape. Engel Dork got him here, but fat and out of shape. And from that moment on, there was nothing positive ever to come out of Ryan Sims. He called the agent Engel Dork. I mean, it was just like a man after my own heart, right? Maybe that's why we had such a good relationship, because we saw eye to eye on that stuff. He called the man Engel Dork, and Ryan Sims was never able. I couldn't tell you an agent for anybody now except for Pat Mahomes. We know it's Lee Steinberg, right? Other than that, that was it. That was the pinnacle, Josh.
Who was John Tate's agent? When the Carl yelled at Bob.
Yeah.
It's kind of same similar type of thing.
Yeah.
When you could do that, apparently.
Yeah.
There weren't any ramifications to getting after agents. Now the feelings are all hurt.
Now everybody's all bent.
Forget about getting a deal done if you do something like that.
Right. But so that was the pinnacle of Ryan Sims' career. And he mentioned there very much kind of like what we're looking at right now. He goes, yeah, we really only had one good drafted player, the 4th-round defensive end, Jared Allen, who they drafted at like Idaho or wherever the hell he was from. And they drafted him, honest to God, to be the new long snapper, to take over for Kendall Gammon. I mean, that's what they thought he was going to be, and he came in and was so good defensively. And you can look at this current regime since Andy Reid has taken over. When you look at drafted defensive players right now, Chris Jones is your guy. he could end up being the Jared Allen of that team, just a one tremendous defensive player, but you didn't surround him with enough. You didn't give him enough help. You didn't give him enough players around him. And I mean, I was sitting there listening to him talk about that defense and missing on all of the draft picks that they had on defense in his era here in Kansas City. And I'm thinking, boy, we are watching that happen right before our eyes right now. At least Jared Allen ended up playing, wasn't injured. Chris Jones now is injured. They need to get him back. He's their biggest impacted player that they have right now on this roster that they drafted. And, you know, those teams back in the early 2000s, they tried to plug it with free agents and stuff like that on the defense, and it didn't work then, and it doesn't work now. It's just not a recipe for success in the NFL to try to do it via free agency and to try to do it via trade. You have to draft. You have to draft well. You have to draft well. You have to coach up your players, and they have to be part of your system from the draft in order to have success. It's just a blueprint for success on all teams that are successful. It's all about that draft. And the Chiefs, really since Andy Reid has taken over, have not been that special drafting on the defensive side of the football. And if they want to contend every year and win championships, they've got to find a way to do better defensively in the draft. They just do.
All right, you heard something yesterday from the Broncos offensive coordinator that caught your ear.
Chuck Limoncello was on the radio yesterday talking out in Denver. I was listening.
Know his name now. It's Rich Scrangelo.
Scangarello.
Now you've screwed me up. Yeah. I probably had it earlier in the day, but
Looks like Rich Scangarello. Rich Scangarello. And so he was talking yesterday. I was at the gym. I'm running. And I almost fell off the treadmill when I heard this, because one of the things I've been saying the last couple of weeks is I don't think Andy Reid is calling a complimentary football game right now. With the defense being as bad as it is and as banged up as it is, boy, why aren't we doing some things a little bit differently on offense to help out the defense? I don't think he's been a good complimentary play caller right now. And one of the first things that Chet Limoncello talked about yesterday was that complimentary football.
Trying to play complimentary football. So however we got to win, we're going to do what we have to do. So that's take care of the football. And if it's grind it out like last week and run the ball and know that your defense is playing well, we'll do it that way. And if we have to score points because of something different, because they pose a different threat, we'll adapt to that. But we have to do our part if we're going to beat a really good football team like Kansas City.
So that's him talking.
I think
about,
if you like what he has to say, you have to get his name right, Bob.
Rich Scangarello.
Okay,
Scangarello.
I'm saying you liked what he had to say.
I did. I'm fist pumping yesterday on the track. I'm like, wow, this is exactly what I want Andy Reid to do. Why is this guy, who I never heard of until yesterday, saying things that make more sense than what Andy Reid has done over the last 2 weeks? And he understands it. Look, if our defense is playing well, hey, we're going to grind this thing out. We're going to extend the game on offense and really try to just move the ball down the field, score a couple points. We know we don't have to score a ton. We're not going to turn it over. We're going to play good complementary football to the way our defense is playing. If our defense is giving up a lot of points, hey, then we're going to go to the air and we're going to do that kind of stuff. You can learn from everybody, no matter how old you are, how experienced you are, how much success you've had. If you're not learning and evolving every day and getting better, you're getting worse. And if I'm Andy Reid, I'm going to listen to that Rich Scangarello comment and go, huh, that's interesting. I could probably take a lesson in that and play a little bit better complimentary football. Now that my defense has got gaping holes and has given up the run, maybe I should play a little bit more with the run and extend our drives a little bit more to give our guys on defense a break, especially that they can't stop the run. Now they're going into that high altitude on a short week. I think this is a very important week for Andy Reid to play better complementary football on offense to what his defense is doing than what he's done over the last 2 weeks.
I think the Broncos, though, do warrant playing ugly a little bit and playing a little, like, do what it takes to win each individual game. I don't feel like the Chiefs have been in that mode. It's do what we do and let's win games. I think the Broncos
But it's not working right now.
It's not working over the last few games.
Right.
You probably, until you can get back to that, have to also be in the mindset of just do what it takes to win. Mm-hmm. And the Broncos are definitely in that. That's got to be their whole season, right? We have to bend and adapt. We just got to try to win games any way, shape, or form. I think the Chiefs maybe got caught up, as you saying without saying, got caught up in just like the style of it.
Yeah, they got caught up in style points.
And now you got to be in the also win aspect of things as well. Big finish coming up, and there was a winner in the NFL yesterday. won the Rams, and won the Chiefs. Next.
Fesco in the morning.
Back in Wednesday edition, we talked with Dick Vermeil, former Chiefs head coach at 915, part of our 60th anniversary interviews. You can check those out, the on-demand section, 610sports.com or via the radio.com app. We also caught up with Mark Collins, former NFL defensive back, Super Bowl winner, former Chief as well, to discuss the defense and more. He joined us at 7:30, and you can catch that in the radio.com app. Big story of the day, obviously, is Jalen Ramsey, right? Heading from Jacksonville to the Rams. And the Rams had to pay two first-rounders and a fourth.
Now, the Jaguars had a number of teams that were interested, but they just felt that the price of two first-round draft picks and a fourth-round pick in 2021 as well was just too much to pass up. They knew that it wasn't going to get better.
Adam Schefter of ESPN knew it wasn't going to get better. It might have gotten better. His
back was obviously going to heal eventually, wasn't it?
Had they wanted to go to an AFC team, but as you had been reporting all day long, the AFC price was higher.
The AFC price was definitely higher. And the Chiefs, excuse me, were in this thing with Jalen Ramsey until the price tag got absolutely ridiculously expensive. And that was two first-round picks and a second-round pick if he was going to be traded to an AFC team. Jacksonville's goal all along, from everything that I've been told, was to not trade him to an AFC team. But if they were going to trade him to an AFC team, the price tag was going to be substantially higher than having to trade him to an NFC team. When teams make trades in the NFL, they try to trade these guys out of conference. They don't want them coming back to bite you. Chiefs traded Peters to the NFC. The Rams in the NFC then traded Peters to the AFC. And then you saw yesterday an AFC team trading their guy to an NFC team. If he was going to go to the Kansas City Chiefs, it would have been a second-round draft pick instead of the fourth-round draft pick, plus the two first-round draft picks that the Rams gave up. And the Chiefs weren't going to make that move unless they were going to guarantee themselves a contract deal with Jalen Ramsey. And at the end of the day, the contract plus the compensation was probably going to be too much for the Kansas City Chiefs, and ended up being too much for the Kansas City Chiefs. You notice he hasn't signed a deal yet out in L.A., and I don't think the Chiefs ultimately were comfortable making any kind of trade for Jalen Ramsey unless they had that deal worked out long term. And they still got to worry about Patrick Mahomes and Chris Jones and, you know, those two guys getting deals done with them. Add on Patrick Ramsey on top, it would have just been, or Jalen Ramsey, it would have been just too expensive for the Chiefs to go out there and make that kind of trade.
You may think the Chiefs lost out, and if you do, that's fine. I felt like the price tag was pretty high. I don't know that the Rams won in this one at all either. They continue to spend stupid amounts of money. Got a quarterback on a big deal. Got a running back on a big deal.
And could be bad deals.
Aaron Donald on a big deal, which is a great deal, but the other ones, they're very top-heavy right now. So whether or not they won, I don't know. I think Jacksonville really, really won.
Jalen Ramsey's back acted up. The truth of the matter was his plan was not to play again for the Jacksonville Jaguars. And in the end, his plan to defy their orders, to sit out games, to say that his back was bothering him, basically in the end provided the impetus for Jacksonville to trade him to the Los Angeles Rams.
That was Adam Schefter of ESPN again. I know the Jaguars won. Jaguars won. A guy that wasn't going to play for them, and you got two firsts and a fourth out of
it. They pawned off an injured guy for two first-round picks.
That, too. Hey, man, they traded this guy. He's got an injured back. Okay. But they traded a guy that didn't want to be there for two firsts and a fourth. Nice job by you.
Yeah, very good job.
Very good. That's when a team might have to just eat it. And get a lesser deal just to get rid of someone that they know is not going to get any value for them. But they didn't. They maximized their value and got two firsts and a fourth out of this thing. Good job by the Jaguars. I know they won today.
Yeah.
I don't know about anybody else. I know they won today. I'm not for sure. I think the Chiefs lost out talent-wise. I think that they didn't lose out dollar-wise. And I don't know if the Rams won anything in making that move.
Yeah, I don't know that they did either. And to say that now people are wondering, is the door closed? Are the Chiefs done? Are their trades still to be made? I can tell you from people that I have spoken to, nothing was going to happen until after Thursday in Kansas City anyway, and it really is going to probably pick up over the weekend or the beginning of next week as we approach the trade deadline. That's when things are going to start to get more aggressive right now. So they're still in the market to go out and add on defense, guys, okay? They're still in the market to try to go out and add a defensive player to make this defense better. But I can promise you, and I can tell you this, they're not going to make a trade just for the sake of making a trade. If it doesn't make sense, they're not going to do it. Patrick Peterson is another question we get. Is he available? Well, the Chiefs would love to have Patrick Peterson. I know they covet Patrick Peterson. For whatever reason, the Cardinals still think they're part of this thing, and they still got an opportunity to do something. So until they're ready to trade Patrick Peterson is not available in a trade, no matter what the Chiefs want to do.
Time now for the big finish.
It's time for the big finish.
Wait a minute! What's happening to my special purpose?
I'll have what she's having.
Brought to you by EverNewClinics.com.
Big game Thursday for a number of reasons for the Chiefs. One, you got to end the losing streak, right?
Right.
Keep it going against a division foe. Keep your thing going against Denver. But also maybe perception-wise for their quarterback. Colin Cowherd of our sister station, 1660 The Score. You can hear him there. And Fox Sports 1, primetime, under the lights for Patrick Mahomes.
I like Patrick Mahomes, but this is the first time in his career, Joy, he's having to overcome stuff like injuries, and he's struggled with it. So he's completing last three games 56% of his throws. That's with Travis Kelce. That's with Andy Reid. So listen, Wilson, Brady, Aaron Rodgers have spent years having to overcome injuries. So Mahomes now, for the first time, has to overcome some stuff, and he has regressed. Doesn't mean he's not great. It doesn't mean he won't get good again. But this is the growth of young quarterbacks. You come out, you blow everybody away. Oh, you take away this guy. You take away that guy. That guy's hurt. And Mahomes has pulled back.
So that's what Colin Cowherd is saying about our quarterback, Patrick Mahomes, right now, is that, well, I don't know. There may be some doubt about Patrick Mahomes. I don't want there to be any doubt about Patrick Mahomes, Josh. That's why I view this game that is coming up tomorrow night as a must-win game for the Kansas City Chiefs. Look, they got to get their mojo back. They got to get their swag back a little bit. But if Patrick Mahomes goes out there and loses this football game, you're going to continue to hear that narrative that Patrick Mahomes can't win big games, can't win primetime games. In primetime games and playoff games, Patrick Mahomes is just 2-6 as a quarterback right now. The MVP of this league, Patrick Mahomes, needs to step it up and will his team do a victory
tomorrow
night. One of those games in Denver.
Left-hand pass.
Correct.
On the ropes.
Yep.
That was an adversity overcoming situation.
Correct.
Broncos thought they had the win.
Right.
Chiefs were able to come in. So it was the one win he got was big, and the other one was a playoff
game. Yeah.
Two pretty good ones.
Yeah, nice wins. But he also has six losses.
Yes.
And people are going to start. If they lose this game, then he becomes 2-7 in primetime and playoff games. That's not a good record.
Well, that's a stat that gets pointed out.
Right.
Amongst a ton of other stats you could look at, that one might get some extra eyeballs and negative attention.
But ultimately,
right?
It's about wins and losses, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
I mean, Dustin Colquitt would be 2-7 in those games as well.
Doesn't matter.
Mitchell Schwartz would be 2-7 in those games.
Doesn't matter.
Harrison Butker.
Doesn't matter.
Anthony Sherman.
Doesn't matter. Not looking at those guys for those types of records.
Right. And the last thing you want is the narrative of a coach who can't win the big one, which Andy Reid has proven he can't win the big one, and then have your quarterback have that narrative as well. That's why it's an important game for the Chiefs. Not only to get that mojo back in the win column, make everything okay, but to stop this nonsense that's going to start on Friday if they lose this football game.
A perception game.
It is a perception game, but perception becomes reality after a while.
Russell Wilson was a much better quarterback playing primetime the other day. Right.
Changed his whole perception.
Right,
he's now a favorite to win the MVP.
Yeah, I mean, he was good and everything. But he got back and had that, and you're like, oh, yeah, Russell Wilson. That's what happens. Perception was... Russell's back on the scene.
Right. Perception, though, before it was, oh, they got the Legion of Doom. Pete Carroll's a great coach.
Boom, but yeah. Yeah.
What did I say? Doom. Boom. Yeah, yeah. Pete Carroll's a great coach. They had Marshawn Lynch, you know, like.
But he got a primetime victory in front of a lot of eyeballs,
right.
And everybody goes, Russell Wilson
is pretty darn good.
And now this week, again, he's the favorite for the MVP.
Now he's the favorite for the MVP.
Over Patrick Mahomes.
So not that matters.
You can do a lot of perception by playing well in those types of matchups because where everybody's watching.
I mean, I'm getting texts from buddies of mine who live all over the country this morning about how bad the Chiefs' defense is, and they're going to lose, and they stink because their defense is so bad they can't stop the run. It's embarrassing. Like, that has become the narrative around this team. They need to go out there, and they need to put a stamp on it on Thursday Night Football when the entire country is going to be watching this thing and get a win. And get an impressive win and get a good defensive type effort where you're not out there falling all over yourself trying to stop Philip Lindsay and company.
Big Finish brought to you by Evernew, Kansas City's first intimate health clinic for men and women. Proven results for good, very good. Visit evernewclinics.com. That's evrnuclinics.com. Speaking of the game tomorrow night, get out to winning streaks tomorrow, 2-6. The drive will be there broadcasting live. You can get yourself registered. You have to do this in person. Register to win an autographed Chris Jones Chiefs hat.
Who?
Chris Jones.
Is Ryan ever coming back or is he done?
50 Cent wings, half price appetizers tomorrow at Winning Streaks and watch party, of course, for the game tomorrow night. So get on out to Winning Streaks in Harrah's North KC. Ryan allegedly's back tomorrow. I don't know.
We'll see. Better chance stopping Philip Lindsay or Ryan being back.
The question is, what time will we hear from him today that he is back tomorrow?
Yeah.
I don't know.
We've been just fine without him.
Coming. Next man up. Nice job, Kramer.
Nice job.
Coming up, Show and Vern are next here on 610 Sports Radio.
Talk to you later.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.